Today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Shop with Hotels.com now to take advantage of their great hotel deals, as well as save $30 on select hotel stays of $250 or more when you go to usehotels.com/chickenduck and use the code LISTEN30 at checkout. Some terms apply.
This is Jay Ray from NoFunnyNetwork.com, the home of independent awesomeness. Welcome to the first true collaboration from the No Phony Podcast Network. Our friend Casey from Saturdays with Chicken Duck had an idea to turn old horror comics into an audio drama. He mailed out lines for different podcast hosts from across the globe to record, and then he edited them all together like Dr. Frankenstein. Grab a loved one and turn out the lights, because it's about to get freaky up in here. We appreciate you listening, as we're all very proud to present the No Phony Network's Halloween Spooktacular.
My story begins at the home of Walton Farnham, accountant to the firm of Bitsby and Company. At this particular moment, Walton is hard at work entertaining Mr. and Mrs. Allen Bitsby, the boss and his wife. Let's see what's going on.
I have to apologize for my wife, sir. She's never this late.
Quite all right, Walton. Quite all right.
Mr. Bitsby, I find that I'm forced to ask you for a raise. There have been some extra expenses lately, and...
Let's not talk business tonight, Walton. See me in the morning, and I'll see what I can do for you.
Thank you, Mr. Bitsby. Thank you.
Quite all right, Walton. Quite.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Bitsby. I'm sorry I'm so late. The seance took so long tonight.
Seance? What seance? Is this what you mean by extra expenses, Walton? Sending your wife to a seance down there at the Point? Don't you know that's where all the shady ladies hang out?
She wants to go, sir, and if it makes her happy...
Happy? Bah! Idiotic nonsense. Those mediums are fakes. Thieves and fakes. They prey on old lonesome people, take advantage of their losses. Who does he produce for you, Miss Walton? Your mother?
No, my poor departed brother, Maxim. And today... I heard his voice.
Tell us what happened, Agnes.
Yes, please do. I'm so interested in this. Aren't you, Alan?
Never mind, Martha. These shenanigans is not for you. You're a rich man's wife. A medium would milk you dry.
Well, I arrived at the medium's house at 3:10. The seance was scheduled to start at 3:15. The others were already there when I arrived.
Hi, my name is Mrs. Dober. Dr. POTUS communicates with my son, Paul, who died in the war. Paul says he's happy now.
I'm so glad to hear that. I've come to contact my brother, Maxim. Last week, he knocked but did not speak.
Yes, I remember. It was too bad. The doctor worked so hard. But did you hear my wife, Sarah, how near she was?
Yes, Mr. Hatch. Her voice was so strong.
The doctor says he's going to try to make my son materialize today.
Suddenly, the doctor was in the room. No one saw him come in. His dark, deep, piercing eyes looked from one of us to the other.
I am so glad you've come again, Mrs. Farnham. Perhaps today, your brother Maxim will speak to us.
I hope so, Doctor. We sat around the table. Dr. POTUS turned out the lights, and then...
Let us all join hands. The seance is about to begin.
Mr. Hatch was on my left. Mrs. Dober was on my right. The doctor was directly across from me. I could see his face in the glow of the candle.
Everyone, quiet. Concentrate. I am about to go into my trance.
I watched his face as he stared into the candle, muttering unintelligible words. Perspiration broke out on his forehead. He writhed like he was in pain. And then...
Harvey!
Sarah? Is that you, Sarah? Is that my sweet Gush Gush?
It was Mr. Hatch's wife. Her voice was sad. Almost like a wail.
Yes! Harvey! It is I. Why do you keep sending for me, Harvey?
I need you, Sarah. I miss you so much.
The medium twisted in what seemed like agony. We watched Mr. Hatch's face. He just stared wide-eyed into the darkness.
You must forget me, Harvey. My life is finished. Yours is not. You must learn to accept life without me. I'm going now.
No, Sarah, no. Goosh, goosh. Oh.
She was gone. The doctor was in a stupor. Then it came. The sharp, clear rapping.
I believe that is your brother, Mrs. Farnham.
Maxim, is that you? Speak to me, Maxim. Please. I listened. I strained my ears, but I heard nothing. Then a voice. Far away.
Agnes. Can you hear me, Agnes?
Maxim. Yes, I can hear you.
I can't stay long, Agnes. It's so hard. Maybe next time.
Maxim, wait. There's so much I want to ask you.
He's gone, Mrs. Farnham. Dr. POTUS couldn't hold him.
Mother.
Mrs. Dober's face lit up. It was her son, Paul. The one that died in the war.
Paul? Is that you, Paul? I'm here.
I told you before, Mother. I'm happy now. Why did you come back here?
I wanted to see you, Paul. The doctor said he'd try. Please, doctor, let me see Paul.
No, Mother. No, don't do it.
Slowly, a mist rose out of the darkness and began to take shape. It was a man. In a uniform. A soldier.
Don't look, Mother. Don't.
I screamed. I couldn't help it. I could see him clear as day. His face was half shot away. It was awful. Just awful.
Paul, you're hurt.
I told you not to do this, Mother. I told you.
Then he was gone. The seance was over.
Doesn't it give you the creeps, Alan?
Fake. Nothing but a fake. That's what this guy is. You'll get no raise from me, Farnham, if you insist upon letting your wife spend good money on that garbage.
But, sir, she heard his voice. Maxim's voice.
If I could prove he's a fake, you know, one of them no-good, downtrodden, space-docking motherfuckers, will you forbid your wife from seeing that no-phony again?
How do you think you can expose him, Mr. Bixby?
Simple. Martha, my wife, we'll stay here. We three will go to see your medium, and I'll ask to speak with my dearly departed wife, and I'll ask some very pointed questions about the push-bottom system that may or may not have been installed on myself, along with a brass ring. And, when he produces her spirit all over my face, you'll know he's a fraud.
Sounds fair enough to me.
A clever plot, eh? Mrs. Farnham calls Dr. Podos and makes the appointment. The three of them, Bixby and the Farnhams, leave for the medium's house while Martha Bixby stays behind. They arrive and are ushered into a seance room. Then the medium enters.
Ah, so these are the people you brought, Mrs. Farnham.
Yes, this is my husband, Walton, and Mr. Alan Bixby, our friend. He's a widower. He likes to communicate with his dearly departed wife, Martha.
Please, won't you all sit down?
The lights are lowered, and the seance begins. They all join hands. The doctor goes into his hypnotic trance. He twists and sways.
Seems to be having a bit of trouble, eh, Walton?
Yes.
Shh.
The medium writhes and twitches and seems to be in terrific pain. His face is drenched in sweat. The veins on his forehead stand out.
Can't seem to be able to rouse her spirit.
Oh, it's definitely a good act, Walton. I'll give you that.
Sure is.
Wait, listen.
You called for me, Alan? Alan, did you call for me? Alan?
Mrs. Bixby?
Martha?
Suddenly, Alan Bixby jumps up, red-faced and angry.
Now see, what I tell you dumbasses? It's a fake. It's a goddamn fake. Quit being fucking idiots.
I don't understand.
They leave and go back to Walton Farnham's house. Bixby is triumphant. As Walton opens the door, Bixby chides in.
See? They're all fakes. All of them. Convinced now, Walton?
Yes. I'm afraid I...
They rush into the room where Martha lies grotesquely on the floor.
Martha! She's dead!
Then, I guess he wasn't a fake.
Oh, what have we done? What have we done?
Hi, I'm Herman, the host of The Rant with Herman James and Friends, a weekly comedy podcast based on current events and the everyday life and all the horseshit that we all deal with on a regular basis. Find us on every available podcast network, as well as HermanJames.com and the No Phony Network, NoPhonyNetwork.com.
Whenever I close my eyes,
that's when the circus begins.
I said I gotta get in my room, get naked, and enjoy the robot news today.
Rob, that gun has a knife.
How are we talking about rectum?
Yeah. Okay, I love dick.
If you enjoy four idiots that sit around in a room and talk about things that put bad taste in your mouth, then please join us over here at Basket Case Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Libsyn, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere else podcasts are available.
Well, you won't be disappointed with this story, I assure you. It's from my private collection on hair razors. I've selected this story for your enjoyment. I call it Voodoo Death. Ever read travel folders? You know, those pamphlets that tell you about the glorious wonders and beauties of the West Indies? Palm trees, moonlight, on the ocean, etc., etc. Strange, isn't it? That they never mention other interesting sights. Sights the tourists aren't supposed to see. Sights like voodoo ritual.
Hurry up, Jay. We're almost there.
Shut the fuck up, Bill. I don't like this one bit. I almost wish we would have never came to Haiti.
Haiti. Island of beauty, serenity. Haiti. Island of legends and mystery.
Jay, look. We're just in time.
For Christ's sakes, Bill. Shut up. They'll hear us.
How will your mama go?
Let's get the hell out of here. If those natives catch us watching their ritual, they'll...
I know. Keep quiet, will you?
What the hell are they doing?
A native was shot to death in town today. They're working over him now.
As they watch the dancers' frenzy, the high priestess places a ball inside the still form of the corpse. The voodoo drums beat louder, and a high priestess bends over the body. The natives close in around her, blocking her from view.
What's she doing now, Bill?
I don't know. I can't see her. Get down!
Minutes later, the chanting, the screaming natives withdraw. leaving the priestess standing over the body and the doll. Now there's an expectant silence. And then the dead native stirs, his eyes open, glassy and empty. He rises. The doll stands upright, now and then darts into the jungle.
Bill, the doll, the dead man, he's alive. He.
Shut up, you damn fool. They'll hear you.
It's too late. They've seen us.
Run!
Bill! Help me, Bill! They've got me! Come back! Bill! Don't you fucking leave me here, Bill!
Bill races back to the hotel and anxiously paces the floor in terror. As dawn breaks and Jay fails to appear, he begins to frantically pack his things. Suddenly, the door pops open.
Jay, thank God you're all right, man. I was worried sick. But you're all right. Thank God you're all right. How did you escape?
Voodoo doll zombies.
You must be exhausted. You need a good night's rest. You go lay down, and as soon as I finish packing our things, we're getting off at this fucking island. We're going home, buddy.
The two friends leave for New York on the next boat. 2 days of complete rest have apparently settled Jay's nerves, and the frightful ordeal in Haiti is almost forgotten by them both. But one night, when Bill enters his room...
What the hell is that? A damn voodoo doll? The native sent a doll after me? It's starting to move! Got to get rid of it! Jay! Jay! Come here, quick!
Bill, what's going on? What's wrong?
Jay! A voodoo doll! It was on my bunk! It moved!
A voodoo doll? Really? A voodoo doll, Bill?
Yes, positive. I threw it out the porthole. The natives must have sent it after me. It had a long needle in its hands.
You must be seeing things, Bill. I think your eyes are just playing tricks on you.
You really think so? Maybe you're right.
Bill is completely unnerved, but by the time they reach New York, he is certain the wicked voodoo doll has been destroyed. One night came a knock on the door he shares with Jay.
Well, that's odd. No one here, just this package. No return address. No postage of any kind. I wonder what it is.
Curious, Bill rips open the package, and then his hands begin to tremble as his mouth drops open and he stares into the box.
The voodoo doll!
Bill throws the package into the roaring fireplace and dashes from the room, then stops.
The flames should destroy it, but maybe... Oh, it came back when I threw it out the porthole. It can move. It might get away. I better go back and make sure it's destroyed. It's gone. Gone. Somewhere in the room, hiding, waiting to pounce on me, waiting to stab me with that needle. Help! Help! Help!
Bill, what the hell are you screaming about?
Jay, thank God, the doll, it's back. It wants to kill me. Why won't they leave me alone? Why do they want me dead?
I'll tell you why, Billy boy. It's because you witnessed a sacred voodoo ritual. And for that, you must die.
How can you be so damn calm?
I have nothing to worry about. I'm already dead.
What? You're dead?
Yes, and soon you'll die too. Look up!
The doll! Stop it! Get it off of me! Get it off of me! Out! Hey, it jabbed me and then went limp. Hey, it didn't kill me. My neck, it's getting numb. Ah!
Yes, that needle was poisoned. Soon your whole body will hurt, and then you'll be dead. As dead as I am. Yes, I'm dead. The natives killed me that night. They killed me, and then they brought me back to life, just like they did to that native. They sent me to you with that voodoo doll to punish you, Bill. The doll has done its just, and when you die, I will cease to exist.
You're dead, and then I'll be dead. In a moment, this doll, it killed me. This wicked, vicious voodoo doll. I'll destroy it, rip it to shreds, tear it apart. What's this?
Bill's rage suddenly ceases. A scream strangles in his throat as he stares down at his hands.
Good Lord! It's a heart! A human heart!
Yes, Bill. That's how they gave the voodoo doll its life. They gave the doll a heart. My heart.
Such joy. Wasn't that heart-rending? Of course Jay could have told Bill what had happened, but I guess he just didn't have the heart. Well, Bill got the point.
This is Michael Coe from the Punk Rock and Politics Podcast, and you're listening to some of the best podcasts available on the internet, only on the No Phony Podcast Network.
Do you want to listen to the best podcast of all time? Cool. So do I. You can do that or you can listen to us. I'm Jay Ray, and this is my bitch-ass sidekick,
Loop Dog.
You gotta say the rest? LOOP.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
But
we're already here. We're already here, bitch. Go ahead and say it. No, just do it. I don't want to fucking start over.
Loop Dog, LOOPDOGG. That's me, that's right.
And we are Politics with Dummies, a podcast on the No Phony Podcast Network at nophonynetwork.com. Look for us. We be everywhere.
Hi there, I'm Gareth.
I'm Bex.
And we do a podcast called Gareth's Random Ramblings,
where we talk about everything and anything.
From the latest crap on TV
to my crippling fear of frogs vomiting their stomachs.
Yeah, you're going to have to listen to the show to work out that one. You can by finding us on Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, or basically anywhere podcasts come out of devices.
Gareth's Random Ramblings, now proud members of the No Phony Podcast Network.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Travis from the Know Your Draft Podcast, and you are listening to the No Phony Podcast Network. Follow our network and our show on Twitter at PhonyKno and at Know Your Draft. Thanks, and enjoy the episode, my friends.
Take 429.
Hi, this is Two Girls on a Bench,
the podcast.
And we hooked up with this cool group called No Phony Podcast Network.
The website is nophonynetwork.com, and you can find it on Twitter at PhonyKno.
And you can find us everywhere at Two Girls on a Bench.
And then I was all like, of course you don't. I'd rip off your arms and beat you to death with them. Oh, I see. It's guest time for me again. Time for me to grace you with my presence and another horror tale from my private collection of spine tinglers here in the Vault of Horror. Yes. I am the Vault Keeper. Come in and lay down on that stretch rack over there. You'll have a ripping good time with this tale of macabre I'm about to relate. I call it, Judy, You're Not Yourself Today. Cue the flashback music. Whatever you want to put in there, Mr. Sound Engineer. You'll do anything I say. Anyway. Donald Abbotson stood on the door of his lovely little home and kissed his wife goodbye. he was leaving for the office. He looked into her soft brown eyes and whispered the warning he had regularly repeated every morning since they had been married.
Goodbye, Judy. I'll be home at the usual time. Remember, don't open the door for anyone.
Mwah. I won't. Goodbye. Don't work too hard. Mwah.
Judy Abelson watched her husband Donald stroll down the small town street, flag his regular morning bus as it came around a corner, and he got aboard. She wafted her usual farewell kiss after him as the bus roared away down the tree-lined street. Then she went inside, closed the door and sighed.
Poor Donald, he worries about me so. Always afraid something might happen to me when he leaves me alone every day. Oh dear, someone's at the door.
Judy opened the door and peeked out. On the steps stood a bent and wrinkled old lady, her head covered with a ragged shawl. As her beady eyes caught sight of Judy, she grinned a toothless grin. I wonder if it's my mother.
Please, young lady, have pity on a poor old woman who hasn't eaten in 2 days. Spare a crust of some bread or a coin, please.
Wait here, please.
Judy hurried into the kitchen and got her purse. Sucker. As she came back through the house.
You poor woman, having to beg from door to door for a bite to eat. I'll just grab you.
You have a lovely home, ma'am. But better still, you have a lovely young body. Just what I've been looking for.
Judy stared into the old woman's bloodshot eyes, and her icy fingers clutched at her racing heart.
My body? What do you mean, my body? What do you want from me?
I am an old woman. My body is bent with age, aching with the pain of tired bones. I am going to take your body and give you mine. A fair exchange.
You're joking with me. Here's a dollar. Now please, go.
No, my dear. I am not joking. You are exactly what I've been looking for.
The gnarled old woman reached out with her knotty, wrinkled hand and caught Judy's wrist. She began to utter weird syllables and incoherent jargon. Judy started to feel weak, dizzy. She screamed.
Kamto argo radimo bishnu agro rambu minishu.
Suddenly, everything went black. Judy felt herself falling into the empty black void of unconsciousness. When she came to, she was lying on the floor. She stared down at the familiar rug. Then her gaze fell upon her hand. It was knotty, wrinkled. The hand of an old woman.
No! Oh dear God, no!
Judy scrambled to her feet, then stumbled to the mirror above the fireplace. She looked, horrified at the image she saw. It was the face of the beady-eyed, toothless old woman. Judy rushed to the telephone. Unbearable pains shot like needles through her gnarled and crooked limbs. You think that's bad, Judy? Try being a corpse.
Donald, this is Judy. Come home quickly. Something horrible has happened.
15 minutes later, Donald Alberson burst through his front door.
Judy? Where are you, Judy?
Sprawled on the couch in the living room, Donald found a sobbing old woman.
What are you doing here? Where's my wife? Who are you?
Donald.
The gnarled old woman rushed towards Donald and flung her bony arms about his neck.
Oh, Donald, it's me, Judy, your wife.
What in the hell are you talking about, old woman?
Donald stifled the feeling of nausea that swept over him as the old crone kissed his cheeks and wept.
For God's sakes, woman, stop your whimpering and tell me what the hell you did with my wife.
But I am your wife, Donald. Believe me. It's me, Judy.
Judy, no longer possessing her young, trim body, but that of an old, aged woman, sobbed out the whole story.
And when I regained consciousness, I found myself in her body. Donald, what will I do? What will I do?
Donald listened to the old woman's incredible story. He stared at her in disbelief.
I don't believe you. I can't.
Let me prove to you that I'm Judy, Donald. Ask me anything. Only Judy would know.
Donald turned away and thought for a moment. And then...
All right. If you can answer this, I might believe you. What was the number of the room in the hotel where we spent our honeymoon?
709.
Donald couldn't believe his ears. He asked other questions, more personal questions. The old woman answered them all correctly.
Now will you believe me?
It's horrible. Why?
The ringing of the telephone interrupts Donald's exclamation.
Don, this is Gemma from down the station. You and your wife have a quarrel, boy?
No? What made you say that?
She's down here waiting for the 310. Brought a ticket to New York. Now, I don't mean to pry, but... Hello?
Donald slammed the phone down and spun around to look at the old woman.
You say you're Judy? Well, if you are, you'll follow my instructions and you'll do anything I say.
Anything! Anything, Donald!
Donald led the old woman to the closet and opened the door.
Hurry, there's no time to lose. Perhaps this isn't too late. I have a plan, but I've got to lock you in this closet. Will you let me?
If you think it'll help, Donald, of course.
Donald closed the closet door on the old woman and locked it. He pocketed the key and ran from the house. He cursed the traffic as he sped downtown in his car.
God, she must be Judy. She must be. No one else could answer those questions like that.
It was 3 o'clock. When Donald reached the station, he spotted a familiar figure sitting in the waiting room. He walked up to her, and she stared at him blankly without any recognition.
She doesn't know me. It is true. That's Judy's body. But Judy's at home in the old woman's body.
Suddenly, a desperate, mad idea crashed into Donald's mind. He stepped up to Judy's body and snarled.
So you're running away then, Judy? You can't face the facts that you have cancer and you're going to die in 2 months.
Huh? Cancer? Die? What in the hell are you talking about?
Go ahead. Run away. See if I care. You think you'll spare me the grief of watching you die, all right? If that's what you want, then do it.
What have I done? I've got to get my body back. Compto Argo Radimo.
Suddenly, Judy's body, seated on the bench, stiffened. Then the color drained from her face. She began to slump forward.
Judy! Judy!
What happened? Where am I? Oh, Donald, darling, I've got my body back. She's given it back.
Oh, come on. We've got to get back to the house.
Donald and Judy sped across town and back to the house. They rushed in. Somebody was hammering on the closet door. Donald took his gun out of his desk.
Oh, she's in there, Judy, locked in that closet.
What are you going to do, Donald?
I'm going to kill her. She's evil. I've got to kill her so she doesn't do this horrible thing again. No one's going to miss this old bitch. We'll bury her in the cellar.
Donald emptied his gun into the closet door. Then they opened the door, and the old woman was dead. They carried her body to the basement and buried her.
It's better this way, Judy. Now she can't do that to anyone else.
I know, Donald.
No, kiddies. This story isn't over yet. The end came about 6 months later. One night after Judy and Donald had gone to bed, Judy had terrible nightmares. She heard the old woman's voice uttering strange words. She awoke. Yes, Judy had found herself buried in the cellar. Dirt filled her toothless mouth and passed against her beady eyes. She pushed up into the cold fresh air. Judy, now the corpse of the dead woman, stumbled up the cellar stairs. Bits of rotting flesh fell away as she moved through the house to Donald's bedroom.
Who's there? Oh, good Lord.
It's me, Donald. Judy. She's taken my body again. Kill her, Donald. Kill her and set me free.
Donald went for his gun. The decayed, foul-smelling corpse of the dead old woman followed him to Judy's room. Donald flung the door open. The body of his wife, Judy, was dressing frantically.
Kill her, Donald. Kill her. Shoot.
The gunshot echoed through the dark house. Judy's body slumped on the floor. Then the corpse of the old woman collapsed.
Judy? Where are you, Judy?
I'm here, Donald. I'm where I belong.
Judy! Judy, no!
Well, there's a weird little tale, eh? But there's a lesson to be learned, kiddies. Don't make fun of that strange old woman who comes begging. You might find yourself in her shoes. Reminds me of a time when I was a little boy and I was at the train station in a town in Australia, in Melbourne. Got an old lady. She used to live under the platform, you see. And she threw chicken bones at me. And she uttered the same strange words as the lady in the story. And she threw them bones and made her curses, and I guess that's why I am the way I am today. Bye for now.
This concludes the No Phony Halloween Spooktacular. What'd you think? Pretty awesome, huh? You must think so too if you made it this far. Thank you so much for listening. You can find all these talented people's podcasts at nophonynetwork.com. Now go eat some candy. Casey, let's go out to some old hippie band playing a somewhat Halloween-y song.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his head. Walking through the streets of Soho in the rain, he was looking for the place called Lee Ho Books. for to get a big dish of beef chow mein. Ah, ooh, the railroad's a London. Kitchen door. You better not let him in. A little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again. So long, Cheney walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw long Cheney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. And his hair was perfect.
Woo! See y'all later. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.